טוב, אז אני מבקש מכם.
Okay. So,
שאלות.
What I want is for you to ask short questions. What you really want to ask, not something that just came up. And you wanted to ask and you didn't have a chance. There is Terence over here. And William over there.
William. Yes. אז הם הביאו לכם מיקרופון.
They will give you the microphone, make it a short question without the stories. I'll also try to give short answers. Now, people who have a chance to ask on other occasions will not ask now. The priority are those who are not in contact with us on a regular basis and really want to ask. So please go ahead. A man and then a woman, or a woman and then a man. But we alternate.
No, William.
William.
Someone
over there?
שמי אלנה ממיין ורציתי, אני אשאל ברוסית פשוט נוח לי יותר.
Everything that the men do, the women can do as well. The only condition is not to interfere with the men, but help them. Period. Very simple. You have a chance to unite, to bond among you in activities, yeshivot chaverot, or from yeshivot chaverim for men, for women. I already said that Rabash wrote essays, and on his behalf, I gave it to our women's group and also to the men's group, to the students, to the women and to their husbands, and that's how it went on. The men have to study more than a woman. They have this obligation. A woman is more obliged to help the men's group, to dissemination and support, etc. But actually, it's much like a family, a male part and a female part. But in a woman, in a family, the woman can kind of poke the man. In a group, you keep a little more of a distance. See, now in Israel, there's the men's group sitting and watching us and doing all kinds of activities with us. The women's group is across the street in a different building and does the same activities. That's it. Clear? Why is it so? To not interfere. We want to focus on spiritual things. You are beautiful. You are making us look. And instead of looking at the Creator, we look at you. Yes, please.
ערב טוב רב, יורי מטורנטו, השאלה שלי היא 24 תלמידים שערב יקיבה נטו בגלל שהם לא הצליחו לבנות ערבות
Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students were at a spiritual level. That was at the time of the ruin of the Second Temple. And because the ego broke out at that time, and that's the meaning of the ruin of the Temple, they fell from brotherly love into unfounded hatred. And that caused them spiritual death, and therefore physical death. The eruption of the ego. It is the end of the whole of the spiritual degree that was the spiritual Israel that at one point came out of Babylon and maintained the mutual guarantee, the Aravut, until the ruin. The Rabbi Akiva's students were the last to maintain the Aravut and they fell from that level. And then the world became or the Creator became completely hidden from the world. We are the first generation after them that's beginning the ascent back up. Yes, please.
אני רוצה להגיד שכשאם אני לבד ואני מסביר זמן אני לא עושה כלום יש בסדר אבל אם אני מאוד אנשים אני לא רוצה להגיד לכל מיני סיבות וכאלה דברים כשאני מאנשים אחרים אני מרגיש מאוד חסר תועל כי אני רוצה לדבר את הדברים המוקים יותר נגיד בעבודה שלי גם כן מאוד קשה כאילו סתם ככה לעבוד כי אני מרגיש צורך לדבר עם אנשים על דברים עמוקים יותר מה לעשות
קשר יותר גדול עם הקבוצה
Better connection with the group will set up your importance in the right grade of values. By yourself, you cannot determine it. You'll always justify what you're doing. Justify yourself. You'll torment yourself and still do useless things. Only connection with the group, being under the influence of the group, will direct you toward the goal. Alone, never. Because the goal is at the center of the group. Yes, please.
I'm Dave from Michigan. I told you that. למה כל הבעיות שבעולם הם כאילו אומרים שזה אשמה של ישראל?
It's because only those who are called Israel, Yashar Kel, straight to the Creator, which was once treated as a group that came out of Babylon. It continued from Nimrod, the Babylonian king who expelled them from Babylon because they were taking the whole they were kind of deviating the whole people that they wanted to correct the whole of Babylon of the time and he disagreed he was the ruler of the place and since then that group became special. Several thousands went out of Babylon, as the Maimonides wrote, and they started behaving in a spiritual manner. Love your friend as yourself, mutual help, mutual bonding, connection, unity, avut. That way they went down to Egypt. In Egypt they became a separate nation, secluded, lived that way. They went out of Egypt, went into Canaan, the land of Israel, through Sinai, constantly maintaining themselves like a group. You can't just be connected with others. You have different laws of behavior. That's how they brought up their children. They all felt the spiritual world. A child grew up with the sensation of the spiritual world. And that's how they lived until the ruin of the first temple, the exile in Babylon, then they came back, built the second temple, and that too was ruined. When they started to decline from the spiritual level that they had in the first temple, at the ruin of the first temple, they fell to the middle of the ladder. Then troubles and problems began in the people. Arguments, problems, inner wars, and all kinds of enemies began to come from the outside. Nebuchadnezzar came. And began to rule over them. He took them into exile in Babylon. After 70 years, they came back and began to rebuild the second temple, a little bit of a spiritual ascent, but to half the level that they had before. But still, there was a constant decline until the time of Rabbi Akiva, and then they lost the spiritual degree completely. But because they were constantly declining, philosophy started, and science, and all kinds of things began to come out of them. Because instead of the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the foundation, the basis of the whole of reality, the science about the whole of nature in an integral manner, holistic, from the word whole. Instead, they started engaging in all kinds of marginal things. And from that, all kinds of teachings came, which took from them, as Plato wrote and Aristotle, the philosophers wrote about it, that they took it from the wisdom of Kabbalah. I'm sure you read it. Pico Mirandola and others wrote about it, that it was all taken, the whole of science and philosophy were taken from the wisdom of Kabbalah. And if they hadn't fallen, the world wouldn't have science. We'd be developing in spirituality. They and the whole world would join. That's basically... Now, when they fell, when they fell and began to feel only this world, and from the previous times all that was left was impressions, meaning they lost the contact with spirituality, so they started to imagine spirituality in a corrupted manner. And from that, all kinds of sects began. And from these sects, all kinds of branches came out, physical branches, from which came out Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and, well, along with all the branches in them. That's what went on. If we're going up to a spiritual degree now, we're beginning to discover the spiritual world, the upper force, the actual reality. So everything is returning to its roots. And people are beginning to see the real world. The single force that acts in the whole of reality, and all the religions are remaining as only culture. And in that, anyone can stay, can kind of keep his own culture and education. But the Creator is revealed and everything is clear. You don't need to believe to take things on faith. There's no room for faith. There's room for knowing. That's what will happen. Yes, please.
אודיה מניו יורק. רציתי לשאול, מהי הרגשת, יש איזה פחד מהתקדמות רוחנית?
There's this fear of spiritual progress.
לפעמים אני מרגישה שאני מעין לוחצת על הברקס, לא נותנת, נגיד 100%, אני יכולה לתת נגיד 80% בהתקדמות.
Sometimes I feel like I'm pressing the brakes, I'm not giving 100%, but only like 80%.
אני ביקשתי שאלות קצרות.
סליחה.
Rav says I ask for short questions.
השאלה עצמה.
כן.
The question itself, please.
איך אני מתגברת על הפחד הזה? כי יש הרגשות חדשות שמגיעות אפילו ברמת הרגשת הגוף, ברמת הרגשת היחס עם הבורא, איך מתגברים על הפחד?
How do you overcome the fear? Because there are all kinds of new sensations, even physical ones, even in relation to the Creator. How do I overcome the fear?
תחזור על השאלה, אני כאן לא שומע כלום. על השאלה שלה, תחזור.
השאלה שלה הייתה, היא אומרת שהיא מרגישה פחד, ו...
וזה, אני לא שומע מהרמה. יש כאן העת,
לא רואה. אני אחזור, אז היא שואלת איך אני מתגברת על הפחד מהתקדמות רוחנית. יש לה פחד בזה.
יש לאדם פחד מהתקדמות רוחנית שלא יתקדם.
If a person has fear of advancing in spirituality, he just shouldn't advance. There's no question about that. I'm not sure what she means by spirituality. Perhaps she has all kinds of imaginations about spirituality. Demons, ghosts, maybe she lose herself, her family, this world, I don't know. Spirituality is just when through our connection we discover a force that governs us, which is governing us anyway. Even now it's doing everything. Except we now discover it and we begin to feel it as a good force. What's to be afraid of here? I don't know. So the fear stems only from a distortion in understanding what spirituality is, from prejudice. Yes, please.
How was the Zohar written? How was Kabbalah created?
Kabbalah was created by Abraham. He was the first to discover the upper force. Well, actually, he's not the first. But in relation to us, he's the first. Because he wrote and arranged this wisdom, established it on knowing the force that acts in reality, in a systematic way, in a scientific manner. Because he was a wise man, educated, he was a priest in Babylon. He was one of the heads of the academy in Babylon. Before him, there were 20 generations of Kabbalists. The first Kabbalist was Adam. He also wrote a book, but we hardly understand any of it. It's called Angel Raziel, the book. Abraham wrote something that is clear already. And especially, he set up the work in the group. And that's why we count it as from him onward. After him, I started realizing this wisdom of discovering the upper force, how to study it, how it operates. It's only nature. It's not somebody, some image, some... It's just the same force that is now filling the entire world, but in a more overt way, clearer to us, appearing to us in all of its actions, in time, in movement, in place, and above all these dimensions. This is what this wisdom reveals. It's not mysticism. It's a science, like physics. Except it opens our study into above the five senses. Because we acquire the power of bestowal, in addition to the force of reception that we have. And in this way, we feel the reality beyond the boundaries of our animal. Let's say I didn't have a body. How would I feel? That's exactly what we attain. And to keep this wisdom after the ruin of the temple, when they all fell from the sensation of spirituality, the group of Kabbalists, with Rabbi Shimon heading them, sat and wrote the book of Zohar. And there, they told about the whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah to its fullest depth, all 125 degrees, the structure of the whole of reality, the stages by which we discover it, how a person should behave accordingly, correct himself, what the Shemot awaken in me, how I should draw the light that reforms, what it does in me, what changes, what opens up to me, how to identify what opens and know the world that opens, and so on. And as I more and more attain more and more and more of the image beyond the boundaries of my body. It's all told in the book of Zohar. That's why this book is so important. And on top of that book, lighter, simpler books were written, closer to us in the writing style. And until today, there are many books. We use only the last two Kabbalists, which are Bala Sulam and Rabash, because they established the wisdom of Kabbalah from the ancient times until today in such a way that we can actually use it. Even today, it's developing. According to what is happening in the world, we're also still developing the wisdom of Kabbalah because it's a live thing. It's a living thing. We are discovering on ourselves, on the developing reality and everything, and we're beginning to use them. There was never such a big public, big audience that was using it. So let's say with Yehovut, with all the groups, with the media, these are new things. We're starting campuses, all kinds of courses. This never happened. So there is a forward development here. But the rules remain the same rules, of course. Unlike physics and other sciences, where we can discover new rules that can actually contradict previous laws, like Einstein versus Newton. Einstein expanding on Newton. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, there is no such thing because they discovered all the degrees, all 125 degrees. And we have nothing more to discover. But what we do discover is for ourselves, we're discovering how we are discovering these degrees. They discovered it their way, 2,000 years ago or so. Or 3,000 years ago. We are discovering the 125 degrees in a different way. It's still through our avod and love your friend as yourself, etc. But the usage, the systematic application is different. Our conditions are different. But what appears is the same thing, of course. How I open up each degree in the contemporary world is different and new, and that's what we're adding. But once it's opened, each degree, it's the same degree that they wrote about. Yes, please.
Hello, Rav. My name is Anna, and I'm from New Jersey. I'm here to support my husband. And my question is, I'll define spirituality. So you claimed before that spirituality is connection between people. And if we take a random group of people without any spirituality intention and we introduce connection techniques, will they be spiritual after a while?
Never. Spirituality isn't connection among people. Spirituality is the revelation of the Creator to a person. By having a good connection between us, nothing's going to come out. There are many groups in the world that perhaps they live in the perfect, most beautiful way. But that's not spirituality. Spirituality is a degree above our egos. When we discover the eternal world. Yes, please. Don't show me that you like that. He should know it. William. There's a guy here crying.
Hi, I'm Alan Pierre from North Carolina, and my question is, I see people virtually making posts, and I see that that they're not connecting, and they're so sad, and they're in our group, and they don't have groups. How do I release them, or how do we release them from the prison if we can't release ourselves? We have to have the friends, and we don't have a group.
Yes, but you were already in a group just now. You have this impression, you have a sensation. In a year's time, or maybe before, we'll have another Congress. Again, we will unite physically. I'm willing to come twice a year, no problem. I left home 18 days ago. I'm willing to put myself, to dedicate myself to this work. But the question is, do you want it? You have to think about it. We can have a Congress on the west side, on the east side of the United States. I really don't care. I'm willing for anything. It's my mission. Now, once you felt it, the connection, the Congress, you smelt it, you have this Rishimot, this impression inside, you were impressed by it. After that, you can, even virtually, still, you still know what you're attracted to. You clothe these Rishimot that we are now in, together, feeling the unity, how we can unite, how by that we're beginning to feel a new reality between us. You put it all on virtual connections, and you can advance. Once every several months, go to some group, try to set up something, at least a few, not 10, have 3 or 4 friends. It's very important. But it's already there. This is why we wanted so much, well, me, Mike Kellogg, all the heads of the groups, wanted to draw as many people as possible to come here to this Congress so they would be impressed with the unity. Now, it'll be easier to continue. Let's hope that you work, and in the next Congress, we'll make it much bigger, and bring into the unity many more people. And we ourselves will unite in the meantime. I intend to do such actions once a week. Either instead of or next to Yeshivat Chavarim. We'll see. So participate with us. I'll be thinking about you. Yes, please.
Hi, Rav. My name's Scott. I'm from the UK. My question is, if 1,000 people enter a room and one becomes a Kabbalist, does this mean only one out of 1,000 make it? Or does this mean 1,000 become one?
We are in a world of laws. I can calculate how this object will drop. There's a law for it, and nothing's going to help me. If I know it or don't know it, that way, I cannot change the laws. The Creator is a law, the comprehensive law that contains within it all the particular laws. He has given a law, an unbreachable law. And that's why all the conditions in each degree, each situation, are very deterministic. You can draw charts and tables, drawings. It's an exact science, the most exact science. And includes within it our internality too, our desires and thoughts, given grades to each thought and desire. That's how much it's stuff we can't take into account in our world. Envy, because in our world, in our psychology, we're not in an exact science. Psychology is not an exact science. It's like this, like that, some of this, some of that. Why? Because we can't study ourselves. Because a person can only study what's below him. I can study animals. With people, I can study them only their bodies, because it's an animal. But the mind, the speaking degree, the desires, and the mind, the thoughts, I cannot be a scientist in that, because for that I have to be at a higher level, a spiritual level. Therefore, when we rise to a spiritual degree, we know exactly who the human is, with all the thoughts and desires of Rishimot and light and Kelim and Patsufim, everything that happens. It's called our soul, our neshama, thoughts and desires. And then I truly acquire a science for all parts of reality, still vegetative, animate and speaking. But for ordinary people who haven't ascended to a spiritual degree, and think of a human being in a psychological manner, that it's not a science, but oh, like this, like that, yeah, they know a little bit of this, you know, some behaviors or incidents. They also think that spirituality is like this, like that, or this incident, you can do this. Because of this world, where they don't know for sure, deterministically, about human nature, the inner human nature. So that's what they think about spirituality. That it could be one way or another, that you can play with the Creator. Meaning you can play with the general law of reality. It'll change. It'll settle. It'll be okay. That's why 1,000 begin, and only one who insists, who remains on the way, and takes this law as a law of nature that cannot be changed. But instead, I have to change in relation to it. He reaches the light. The revelation of this law in him. That's the meaning of the revelation of the Creator. That's why we need to constantly talk about us being in a system of laws, the law of Ahavut, mutual guarantee. Yes, the law of mutual guarantee, mutual help in the group. The law of Oshimot, the law that there is none else besides him. These are all laws and laws, inescapable ones. If we take it this way, and we know that there is no other choice, then we're facing the truth, the fact. Now, if you want, go ahead. If not, go rest for the time being, until the suffering will bring you back, nonetheless. Yes, please.
Здравствуйте, меня зовут Инесса, я из Queens группы и из круглосуточной виртуальной женской группы. У меня вопрос такой. У нас прошла серия конгрессов. Какое у вас впечатление от проделанной всем мировым кли работы и насколько мы смогли продвинуться к цели? Спасибо.
Hi, my name is Inessa from the Queens Group. My question is, after the series of congresses we've just had, what is your impression of all the work the World Kli has done?
We started in Colombia, Bogota, Barranquilla. We had meetings with very, very warm friends of ours, very emotional. It's the first time we saw them. The meetings were, well, you saw them, some of them. It was truly something special. Then we moved on to Chile. We spent 2 days there. Well, the Chile group is, I always say it's my favorite group, because over the years they've always been trying to keep themselves up, and there are representatives of that group even here. Then we went to Sao Paulo and discovered that there are great friends there, strong ones, who truly crave to set up a group and study. We had a big congress there in a beautiful place, in great conditions. And perhaps you saw from there too some of it. In each place we tried to do activities and lectures. There were meetings with different circles, with the media, politicians, etc. What can I say? And now we are in North America. There are groups from all over America here, including friends from South America who came here, from Toronto and other places in Canada. This time we created a new Congress. I see it's all as one Congress. It's a Congress of unity. In every place we went, we continued to engage in unity. It wasn't lectures about the wisdom of Kabbalah, Potsufim, worlds. It wasn't about the book of Zohar or all kinds of drawings, something theoretical. It was very practical in order to evoke in you a sensation of the way, that it's through bonding, through the center of the group, and you dive into the center of the group, and there you find the Creator. He's hidden there. As it's written, I dwell among my own people. So my impression is that for now, as much as I was allowed to disclose the method, we've done a beautiful way, good way, with the right steps. Everything should be in its time. Those who eat unripe fruit could poison himself. Meaning, it's forbidden to disclose to a person more than he can digest. He needs to know what's true for today and open a little bit for tomorrow, just like we try to do here in one of the questions. I would agree, I'd be delighted to come a lot more often, but spirituality has to be kind of absorbed within us, to be absorbed, to be digested within us, to be known in the sensation, in intellectual criticism. We need to learn how to measure our sensations through the intellect and know how to work with them. Some of this part, some of that part, measure. Like you do it in a pharmacy in order to create the right mixture. And advance in this way. Which desire is yes, which not, and what distances from one another. That's how we build ourselves until the spiritual human is built. So it takes time. And the time it takes depends on our work. If we do these exercises once a week, together, all of us in the world clean, and study each day, even for half an hour, as much as a person can. Both men and women, start walking around with an earphone in your ear with our lessons. Anyone can do that while driving, during work at home. There's enough time to be with the lesson in your ear. In that way, you constantly get this IV. And that's how we advance. I'm happy with what we've done. It's a new stage. And I'm looking forward for the next step. Prepare yourselves. You'll get it quickly. Yes, please.
Good evening, Rav. Renice from Chicago. My question is such, in my corporate reality, I'm a software engineer. And there is a principle in software engineering. In order to create a more sustainable structure, we break down one whole object into a smaller object, and we bring those objects to a perfection, and only then we build one single structure together. How much is this principle applicable to in our spiritual path? And if it's applicable, does it contradict to the concept of the unification? Thank you.
Look, I also engaged in systems, both discrete and analog systems. The discrete systems are artificial systems. Nature systems are analog systems. What I would recommend for you and for everyone, don't take anything from the science and from what you know into the wisdom of Kabbalah. It could confuse you for a long time. There's a different mind here. Mindset also. Mind. You'll discover it and you'll see that I'm right. I studied engineering. I studied many things. There's nothing that is like it, that is similar to it. The combination between the hard sciences, the spiritual exact science, and the neshama, the soul, doesn't exist, nothing like it exists anywhere. And all the knowledge you have is not going to help you. But if you study many things, it'll be easier for you to find examples in order to explain to other people. But your inner way, you will discover to what extent it is not like any other systems that you know. Yes, please.
We're just going to go to see what groups we have around the world with us now. We see lots and lots of groups with us all lesson long on the screens, and we have lots more who are writing to us and who are connected with us. We're just going to read out some of them. And all of us now all around the world, it's time to really pick up now. We know that there's groups connected with us in morning times and night times and all kinds of times with us for a long time. If anyone's tired, now's the time to really all of us wake up as one big world Kli. So we got friends from Rehovot, from Vladimir, from Chicago, Santiago, Trinidad and Tobago, Moscow, Orenburg, and Mexico, Simferopol, Montreal, Portugal, Stavropol, Singapore, Golosevo, El Salvador, Taganrog in Texas, Buenos Aires, Odessa, Edmonton, Kolomna, Stuttgart, Arava, Croatia, Australia, Romania, Netanya, Vienna, Afula, Ranana, Moldova, North Carolina, Ashdod, Dnipropetrovsk, Costa Rica, Beersheba, Kirovograd, Santa Marta in Colombia, Quebec and Alberta in Canada, Barcelona, Riga, Belgorod, Belgium, Peru, Nizhny Novgorod, Jerusalem, Berlin, Sweden, Minsk, London, Krasnoyarsk, Eilat, Georgia, Modin, Poland, Holland, Poland, Shomron, and Germany, Italy, Amira Congress in Florence, Chelyabinsk, Engels, Kazakhstan, Novorossiysk, Sochi, Kyrgyzstan, Tim from Council Bluffs, the group from Vilnius, Washington, D.C., Tula in Turkey, 60 friends from 5 countries in Karpati, Haifa, South Africa, Tel Aviv, Narva in Florida and Madrid, Chile, Kiev, Toliati, Nicosia, Rostov, Zarechny, Voronezh, Bulgaria, Omsk, Toronto, Novorossiysk, Vladivostok, San Francisco, Nizhnevatovsk, Novosibirsk, Suilka, Spain, St. Petersburg, Paris, New Zealand, Prague, and much more friends connected with us. L'chaim world, please.
Next question.
That's a hard act to follow. Shalom Haverin and Neil Lam. Rav, I can say certainly for all of us in Neil Lam that we appreciate your wisdom. From Adam HaRishon to Rav Lightman, there has never been a female Kabbalist. Women have been in all the other sciences. What is the chance of a female Kabbalist?
There were times when a woman was a greater Kabbalist than a man. Even Sarah. Sarah was greater than Abraham. It's written that the Creator told Abraham, meaning the higher degree than they, the Creator, seemingly tells the degree of Abraham and Sarah, tells Abraham, listen to what Sarah will tell you. In many cases, a woman determines more and is greater than the man. A woman means it's in the spiritual sense. There were prophetesses, Deborah, Huldah, Miriam, a prophetess or a prophet is a person who is at a degree of the revelation of the Creator, either in Mochin de Neshama or Mochin de Chaya. That's why it's written, I heard the Creator, that's being in Mochin de Neshama, or I saw the Creator, that's Mochin de Chaya. And in those degrees, there were women, prophetesses. When the whole people fell from that degree 2,000 years ago, men and women, all of them except Rabbi Shimon's group of Kabbalists, and then in each generation a few people who engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah, until today, although there's still this, Maimonides' daughter, but I can't say. These things are... In short, there are examples. There is no difference in the spiritual attainment between a man and a woman. The conditions are the same. Very simple. It's easier for a woman, but well, in a sense, and in another sense it's more difficult because she's more connected to the family, to the kids, to her husband. It's a different kind of difficulty, a different kind of hardening of the heart to a woman as a, compared with a man's. But the conditions are all in all the same conditions, but the realization is a little different. That's it. A woman has to get support from the environment, nonetheless, and that's her connection to other women, and to be with the group of men, supporting the group of men, assisting them, supporting them. The men are more intended to attain the light. The women are more intended to receive it. But in the end, there is no difference. And God forbid, what women always claim, that there is some kind of prejudice or... it doesn't exist in spirituality. Anyone who's here or anywhere in the world have the same chance to reach his own end of correction as anybody else's. But according to that person's qualities, either he did it a few thousand years ago, or he was lit up today, or maybe in a few years' time. But once he receives the desire, the awakening, he has the same, exact same possibilities as anybody else. It's not our world with all the business. It's a law of nature. From above, everyone's equal. From below, we make a big mess. Yes, please. No, I'm saying this to women. Just do the work. Don't look at the men. You need to do a serious work in between you. Help them because it helps you advance. and you will see how you grow. That's what's going to happen, for sure. The fact that in our false world, the men have taken kind of more of a status, it doesn't exist in spirituality. There is to the contrary. You will see how the feminine clique is in many ways more important than the masculine clique. They complement one another, but you are not dependent on anyone. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Tom. I'm from New Jersey CLE. My question to you tonight is, what kind of changes do you foresee happening in the world in the next several years to come? Do you have a negative or positive impression of things to come? Thank you.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. You have people in the world who can tell you what will happen on the physical level. There were such people, there are such people, because in the physical world, it's different with our bodies. It's not like that in the spiritual world. Because in relation to our bodies, it's not a problem. These are laws. Deterministic ones. Everything is predetermined in regard to them. So there are people with certain sensitivities who can discover what happens with our bodies as to what will happen with the soul. Only a person can do this spiritual act, nurturing the soul, exiting, going out to the spiritual world. Once you go out to the spiritual world, through sensing the spiritual world, whether your body lives or die, you don't feel the difference. Because the higher degree suppresses the lower degree. That's why I can't say what will happen with the world. That was given to our free choice. The extent to which we will advance. It can be good. It can be not so good. It's certain that we will advance toward correction. It's certain that we will reach it. But the extent to which along the way, yes, we will suffer blows or rise smoothly, depends on you. I'm willing to help. That's all I can say. I'll just tell you this. We have another meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll talk about it, about the future, our future and the future of the world. That's for tomorrow morning. I can only say this. In the coming years, the next year or two, they are very, very important to the fate of the world. Actually, the whole world is like it's an automatic. It's like an autopilot. You can read it in the book of Zohar. The whole world has no freedom of choice. The rulers of the world have no decision. They can't decide anything. It all depends on our work on uniting among us. The measure of light that we draw for ourselves and through us to the world determines to what extent the world advances in a better way or, God forbid, not so good a way. It depends only on us, on all the groups you just now saw on the screens, on us. So let's take these things seriously and understand that we are responsible
for the world.
And as I feel it, as a result of all these congresses, we have, we're very hopeful. Another example, a good example, to how much we're advancing. Here before us, there's a fellow, Mike Kellogg, and William, come up here and say, what do you want to say?
Friends, we have an extremely exciting presentation that's coming up, so sit tight. Don't go anyplace. But first, some announcements so that you know what's going to happen. We're going to go through this evening. It continues on from here. We don't stop. And in the morning, 6:30, coffee and cookies. 7 o'clock, lesson. After the cultural evening, C4G coordinators and any group who does not have a coordinator meet in front of the broadcast team. That's anybody who does not have a coordinator in their group and C4G coordinators. Now, Mr. Kellogg.
This one, okay. One of it, huh? Okay. Yeah? We're going to have a very small, short ceremony. It's only 10 minutes, but it's an important ceremony that we started a couple years ago. And it's recognizing the students that are here that have just now completed all the way through the EC. Now, there's a lot more that, unfortunately, they're far enough away that they aren't here. But before we do that, I want to tell you very quickly about an incredible group of people. It's a group of people that one of their average days might be to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and have a meeting and be involved in some planning and then go do their regular job during the day, come home, and then perhaps have to moderate or teach or produce or work in the technical aspect of a lesson. And the reward is that literally thousands of people get to study Kabbalah completely, totally free online because these are all volunteers. I would like for us to take a look around, and everybody that currently does anything with regard to the Learning Center, the Education Center, please stand up. And before we get to all these wonderful people that are getting ready to come across the stage here in just a minute, everybody that has ever been enrolled, ever taken the courses at the Learning Center, stand up now, everybody. Okay, William.
Let's get it on the road.
Sit down for just a moment. We'll get going here.
Mac Robinson from Chicago. Jerry Cohen, Las Vegas. Terry Grant. Roberta Kahn.
Thank you.
Jimmy Clay.
Thank you.
Phyllis Birdwell. Amina Archer. Alan Offey. The mother, Ann Offey. John Manning. Alisa Kogan. Sandra DeArmond. Nicholas Jeremy. Svetlana Freeman. Ann Taylor. Brian Licker. Nicholas Eek. Milagros.
What's the last Kirstead.
Justin Kirstead. Joseph Lares. Sandra Armstrong, Regan Shillstone. You are? We've had one more. John.
Come on.
Well,
we have one more.
Congratulations, each and every one.
Congratulations, everybody. Thank you.
It's truly a very important activity and initiative that this education center. We don't have any other organization in North America that's been acting so faithfully for so many years, doing its work beautifully. Well done for Mike and for William, and for many, many, many people along with them. And we're continuing because now we want to start courses for teachers, educators, lecturers, those who will work with kids and with grown-ups, with the general public, to develop it, to turn the education center into a huge academy. Join in. Thank you. Thank you, our friends.